This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a new series called This Is Us. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shows us how belonging to a church family helps us navigate life's challenges. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book for kids called Words to Love By. This book takes children on a joyful, grace-filled journey, exploring the power of words. They'll learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called, What on Earth Am I Here For?
Mark Twain once said, the two most important days in a person's life are one, the day you're born, and two, the day you figure out why. Unfortunately, most people go through life never knowing why they were born. They miss God's purpose for their lives. And yet God isn't playing games with us. He's very, very clear in his book about it. God has never created anything without a purpose. God is a God of purpose. Every plant has a purpose. Every animal has a purpose. Every fish has a purpose. If you're alive, God has a purpose for your life. If your heart is beating right now and you're breathing air, it means God still has a purpose for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So God has never made anything without a purpose. Now, if you want to know the purpose of your life, you got to begin with God, because he's the only one who can tell you. If I were to hold up an invention here tonight, and you'd never seen this invention before, and I said, guess what the purpose is? You would just be guessing. You would have no idea, if you had never seen it before, what the purpose of the invention was, unless either A, you talked to the creator, the inventor of the invention, or B, you read the owner's manual. Now, the same is true spiritually. You will never know the purpose of your life unless you, A, talk to God, the creator who made you, or B, read the owner's manual. You can guess at it. That's what philosophy does. Well, I think the purpose of life is this, and I think the purpose of life. You're just guessing. You're just guessing. Or you can do the popular way, which is I call it the Star Wars way. Trust the Force, Luke. Look within. Look within yourself and discover your purpose. Somebody just needs to be obvious and open about it and say, folks, that doesn't work. Looking within. Come on. We've all done that. It doesn't work. I looked within. All I saw was a bunch of confusion. You know, and you can't tell you what your purpose is because you didn't create you. That's kind of logical. It is nonsensical. It is irrational to think that you can look within and discover your purpose. You didn't make you. You didn't create you. Only the God who made you can tell you the reason he made you. And that's what the Bible tells us all about. Now, up here on the screen, Ephesians chapter 1 in the Bible says this. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Part of the overall purpose, he, God, is working out in everything and everyone. God has a purpose for your life, but he also has a purpose for everybody else's life. And he's working out that purpose. History is moving toward a climax. It is not cyclical. It is not a cycle. There are seasons, but history is moving toward a climax. And even physics will tell you that we know the universe had a beginning, and it's going to have an end at some point. We know this from the laws of physics today. We didn't know this even 100 years ago, but we know today. Well, the Bible had said it, but scientists have now backed it up. So what we're going to do is look at God's overall purpose for all of us, but God's unique purpose for you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says this. Everything, absolutely everything, got started in Christ. He's the creator. And finds its purposes in him. In him. So let me summarize. You were made by God, and you were made for God. Until you figure that out, life's never going to make sense. And you try all kinds of other things, but it's not going to make sense. Number two, you were made to last forever. It is not an understatement to say that God has long-range plans for your life. You're only going to get 60, 80, maybe 100 years on this planet. That's not very much time. This is the testing ground. This is the proving ground. This is the preschool before the real story begins. This is the warm-up act, the dress rehearsal before the real thing happens in eternity. You're going to spend far more time on the other side of death in eternity, heaven or hell, than you do on this side in on earth. You only get, at the most, 100 years here. So what is this for? This is the warm-up act. This is the dress rehearsal before the real play begins. This is the first lap around the track before the real race begins. This is the preschool. This is the get-ready stage. This is not heaven. That's why there's a lot of problems and sorrow and suffering and sadness here. It's not a perfect place. And so, but God has long-range plans for your life, and how you choose to use your life here on this side of eternity will determine where you spend the other side of eternity, with God or without him. Do you want him in your life or do you don't want him in your life? It's your choice. God says, like Burger King, have it your way. You know, you get to choose. This life is preparation for eternity. In heaven, you're going to do five things. God wants you to practice those here on earth, so when you get to heaven, you're not a doofus. You know how to do it. You know how to do it. Now, today, what we're going to do is review God's five purposes for your life. This whole church for 40 years has been built on this message. God's five purposes for your life. We're even organized around these five purposes. Now, in order to save my voice, I'm going to do part of this message by video, but I'm going to do part of it live at the end. There are five purposes for your life. Write these down. Number one, first, God planned me for his pleasure. God planned me for his pleasure. Many, many scriptures deal with this. Let me show you some. Revelation 4, verse 11. You, God, created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. You were made so God could love you. You were made for his pleasure. If God hadn't wanted to love you, you would not exist.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
A short time back, Pastor Rick Warren teamed up with a talented artist to create the stunning new children's book, Words to Love By. Written with warmth and wisdom, it speaks to the hearts of little ones and takes them on a joyful, grace-filled journey, exploring the power of words. Through charming illustrations and engaging text, young readers will understand how their words can change their lives and the lives of those around them. Kids learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. Words can encourage, and they can spread love and kindness, and they can let us know we are not alone. This hardcover book is written especially for children ages 4 to 8. It makes a perfect gift for the kids God has placed in your life. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the hardcover book, Words to Love by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
You were made so God could love you. You were made for his pleasure. If God hadn't wanted to love you, you would not exist. You were made for God's pleasure. Psalm 149, verse 4. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. How many of you are parents? Because see your hands, your parents. Okay. Do you take pleasure in your kids? You say, sometimes. Yes, sometimes, but the truth is, when they're sleeping at night, they may have been devils all day. They're angels while they're asleep. And I used to walk in and sit down and watch my kids sleep. And I would watch their little bodies, their rise and lower. Watch their chest rise and lower, rise and lower. I got so much pleasure out of watching my kids breathe as little kids. Why? Because I am their father. I created them. They didn't have to be doing anything spiritual. They didn't have to be memorizing Bible verses, winning people to Christ, you know, studying scripture. They were just sleeping. This is the way God feels about you. God gets pleasure in watching you be you. All the time. I'm not talking about your sins, but I'm talking about when you just be you. When he wired you to organize, and you know how to organize a closet or a garden or something. When he made you to be a salesperson and he watched you make a good sale, he goes, that's my girl, that's my boy. When he sees you do art or music or math or mechanics or whatever, it's not all the spiritual stuff. God just enjoys watching you be you because he made you. You were planned for God's pleasure. You've heard me say this many times. You can't make God stop loving you. You can try, but you will fail. Because God's love isn't based on your perfection. It's based on who he is. It's based on his character. Ephesians 1:4 on the screen. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations. That's how long ago God thought of you. God had us in mind. And he settled on us. Not horses, not cows, not ants. He settled on us, human beings, as the focus of his love. You were planned for God's pleasure. How many times over 40 years have you heard me say, God doesn't just have love, he is love. The Bible says God is love. It is his character. It is his essence. It is his nature. Now, as I've told you before, he didn't need you. He wanted you. It was his love that wanted to create you. Now, the difference between us and animals is, unlike animals, we're made in God's image. Your first job is to let God love you, and your second part of that job is you to learn to love him back. And the more you understand how much God loves you, the more you're gonna love him. When you say, I don't love God enough, that's not your problem. The problem is you don't understand how much he loves you. Because if you really understood how God created the entire universe to create you, to love you, you can't help but love God back. You don't know how much God loves you if you don't love God. You just don't get it yet. One day Jesus is walking down the street and a guy walks up to him and says, Lord, what's the most important commandment in the whole Bible? And Jesus says, well, that's not a big deal. I can solve that. I can answer that in two sentences. I can summarize the whole Bible. He says all the law and all the prophets in just two sentences. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. Oh, and by the way, love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. Why? Because the first purpose of your life is you were planned for God's pleasure. He made you to love you. And he wants you to learn to accept his love and to love him back. Jesus said this on the screen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the first purpose of your life. To let God love you and to learn to love him back in response. The most important thing in your life is to know God, to know that he loves you. And the most important thing to do in your life is to learn to love him back. So every morning, I suggest you do what I do. You can kneel or you can sit on the side of your bed. But before I get out of bed, I usually just sit on the side of my bed and I'll say something like this. Lord, I know you made me to love me. Thank you. And I love you. And Lord, today, if I don't get anything else done, I want to know you a little bit better and I want to love you a little bit more. Because that's the first purpose of my life. If at the end of the day, I don't care how many problems you had, how many sins you committed, how many things went wrong in your life, if at the end of the day you know God a little bit more and you love him a little bit better, that was a successful day. On the other hand, doesn't matter how many things you accomplish, how much money you make, how many times you get your picture plastered on some magazine or billboard or whatever, how famous you become, it doesn't matter. If you don't know God a little bit more and love him a little bit better at the end of that day, you just wasted that day because you were not put on earth just to mark things off your to-do list. That is not the purpose of your life, to mark things off your to-do list. Now, this first purpose of life, write this down, is to know and love God. He planned me for his pleasure, and so the first purpose of my life is to know God and to love God. The Bible word for knowing and love God is called worship. Worship. Worship is letting God love you and loving him back. Anytime you're expressing love to God, you're worshiping. Worshiping, a lot of people think, is music. Music is a way to worship. But you can worship in silence. You can worship in giving. You can worship in listening. You can worship in 100 different ways. Worship is simply expressing my love to God. You could be building something for the glory of God, and that's worship. It's expressing your love for God in any different way. Now, the alternative to worship, you know what it is? It's worry. The opposite of worship is worry. Worry is the warning sign you stopped worshiping. Worry is the sign that you've got to focus on you, not on God. So every day, you have a choice every single minute of your life. Am I gonna worry or am I gonna worship? If you worship, you won't worry. If you worry, you won't worship. One or two will be in your brain all the time. Look at this verse on the screen. The Bible says people who don't know God are always worrying. Why? Because they're not focused on his greatness and his love. They're focused on their problems and insecurities. That's the first purpose of your life, to learn to worship. The more you learn to worship, the less you'll worry in life. Number two, second purpose of your life, God not only planned me for his pleasure, God formed me for his family. God formed me for his family. You were made to be a part of his family. Now, last week we spent an entire message on this. God's family is called the church. So I'm gonna zoom through this because we spent an entire week looking how God formed you for his family. But let's look at these verses real quick. Ephesians 1:5. God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him what? Great pleasure. When you get in the family of God, when you get in God's church, then God brings God great pleasure. God wanted a family you created to be a part of it. God never meant for you to go through life all alone. God hates loneliness. The very first thing God said was wrong with the earth was that it is not good for man to be alone. God hates loneliness. Now, I'm not, whether you marry or not, you need a family. And the spiritual family, as we talked about last week, is going to outlast your physical family because it's eternal. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now, notice, members of God's own family. You're not in God's family if you haven't been born again. You're loved by him, you're created by him, but you're not in his family. There's only two ways to get in the family, and both these verses mention them. You got to either be adopted or born in it too. And Jesus says, I'm doing both. I'm adopting you and you're born again. So that's how you get into God's family. Now, you're automatically a part, when you're born physically, you automatically become a part of the human race. You don't have any choice. When you're born physically, you automatically become a part of the human race. But you're not part of a local family until somebody makes a decision to bring you home. It's a choice. The same is true spiritually. When you are spiritually born, again, you're born into God's universal family, but you're not a part of his physical family called the church until you choose to say, that's gonna be my family. That's gonna be my home. That's gonna be my spiritual base. What is God's family? We looked at it last week, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That family is the church. It is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the church of the truth. The church isn't an institution, it's a family. Now, God's purpose for your life includes not just believing in him, but belonging in his family. So you could say, I'm a believer, but you could also say, I'm a belonger. Because being in the family of God is what makes you saved, being part of his family. Now, notice it said there that family is the church, the support and foundation of truth. What happens when a building has no foundation and support? It collapses. We've seen that in California a lot because of earthquakes. You need the spiritual support of a God's family, and you need a small group to support you when you go through the earthquakes of life. What's the support structure for your life? The church, God's spiritual family. 1 Peter 2:17, love your spiritual family. That's what it says. Love. That's about as clear as you can get it. You were commanded by God to love your spiritual family. If you don't love this family, just find one. Choose a church family. Say, that's the church family I'm going to love. You know, when you get to heaven one day, you're going to do two things in heaven. You're going to love God, and you're going to love his family. What does God want you to do while you're here on earth for 80 years? Practice. So when you get to heaven, you practice loving God and loving other believers in his family. Why? So when you get to heaven, you're not a doofus. You already know how to love God, and you already know how to love other Christians who often we're not always lovable. And you aren't either, by the way. All right? To dwell above with those we love, that will be a glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick Warren teamed up with a talented artist to create the stunning children's book, Words to Love By. Written with warmth and wisdom, it speaks to the hearts of little ones. Words to Love By takes children on a joyful, grace-filled journey exploring the power of words. Through charming illustrations and engaging text, young readers will understand how their words can change their lives and the lives of those around them. Kids learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. Words can encourage, and they can spread love and kindness, and they let us know we are not alone. This book is hardcover and is written especially for children ages 4 through 8. It makes a perfect gift for the kids God has placed in your life. Today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people worldwide, we'll send you the hardcover book, Words to Love by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this beautiful children's gift book. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Some of you may not know that Daily Hope is broadcast each day on Heartline Radio in Jakarta, Indonesia. Let me share a testimony I got from a man named Alex who lives there in Indonesia. Dear Pastor Rick, I've been blessed by learning the Word of God delivered by you. Almost every night I share the topics that I hear on Daily Hope with my children when we pray at night before bed. Pastor Rick, you and your broadcast have blessed our family. We pray that Daily Hope Ministry will continue to reach more and more people, not only in Indonesia, but all over the whole world. Alex, I want to thank you for blessing us with this note. This is the kind of note that keeps us going, that keeps us serving and working. I'm so glad you're sharing God's truth with your children. Now, the reason Alex is able to hear Daily Hope in Indonesia is because of you. Because of your generous financial support and from other listeners like you, we're able to take this message all around the world. I just want to say to you, thank you for your regular financial support. We love you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.